Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for stopping by tonight. I appreciated having Friday night off, and I hope those of you who tuned in who aren't on my Facebook page, forgive me for taking the night off. I had planned tonight to talk about all the stuff that's going on with the IRS. As a matter of fact, yesterday I spent about 6 hours researching all about everything that has taken place. And, of course, I was blown away when I started reading the facts and the figures. We live in a world where there seems to be struggling in many, many areas. There seems to be problems due to lack of funds and people struggling to hang on to their homes, millions of people who are getting governmental support in the form of food stamps or Medicaid or anything like that. And here we have IRS, who just the sound of that sends chills down the backs of most adults, because what's the old saying? Those are the only two things that you positively have to do, is pay your taxes and die. And now we find out that those taxes that often many of us have trouble coughing up are being spent so that people can learn the Cupid Shuffle, or $17,000 to be able to hear about how to manage people through art. I was blown away. However, I'm going to leave that discussion for tomorrow night, because as our as our world would have it, something even more shocking occurred today. And ironically, I had seen this commercial already and thought how adorable it was. It actually, as things often do because I'm Irish, brought tears to my eyes and reinforced the fact that that's who we're supposed to be, a little girl who loves her daddy so much. So, that she's worried about his health. I loved it. And to be honest with you, even though I must admit I noticed that Mom was white and Dad was black and the little girl was a gorgeous shade of like a beigeish brown, absolutely beautiful, beautiful little girl, and her abilities to play the part that she played were perfect, nothing else crossed my mind. And then I see all this morning on TV, and I was blown away. What is it about us that makes us kind of wait, like in a crouched position, to attack? I mean, don't you have something better to do? My good God. Here's one of the stories that's online, just so I can brief all of you in case you're like some of my friends and you don't watch TV. After an unexpected backlash over what seemed to be just another commercial, General Mills decided to temporarily disable commenting on a YouTube video of, excuse me, of one of its new ads that features a white mom, a black father, and an interracial child. But on Friday, Associate Marketing Director for Cheerios and Multigrain Cheerios at General Mills in Golden Valley, Minnesota, Meredith Tutterow, stated that the ad will absolutely not be withdrawn. My God, I hope not. Tutterow also said, "There are many kinds of families, and Cheerios just wants to celebrate them all." The controversial ad shows a young girl asking her mom if cereal is good for your heart. Her mother explains how cereal is good for the heart. Next, the little girl runs away with the cereal box. The ad ends with the girl's sleeping father lying on the couch, only to find a pile of Cheerios on his chest where his heart is, as the word love appears on the screen to close the commercial. Now, all over social media and throughout the internet, people are searching for this video and watching intensely to try and find out exactly why this particular ad has garnered so much violent hatred, to the point where General Mills decided to temporarily disable commenting on the ad on YouTube. The general idea was that the ad itself was racist. But after watching the ad and then reading some of the vile comments about the ad, one soon realizes that it is not the content of the ad that has drawn the racist ire of the bigots. It's the casting of the actors and the symbolism of what they represent that has stirred Jim Crow from underneath his racist rock, which is an interracial family featuring the proverbial taboo pairing of a white woman and a black man with a biracial child. Now, some people have attributed this bigotry to the YouTube phenomenon. Advertising professor from University of Minnesota's School of Journalism and Mass Communications, John Egme, agrees. He said, "You take that risk anytime you offer up anything on a website. There's an element of predisposed to make negative comments, and they pounce on it." We've talked about this before on this show. We've talked about how people, for whatever reasons, on occasion, not all of us, obviously, because most of us are awesome, loving, caring people. But there are some of us out there who are either scarred or living in a vacuum of hatred and anger. And they do. They wait for things like this so that they can go, "Aha, I caught you," and jump in and ridicule and tear apart something that really should be accepted at this point in time in my life anyway. Most of you know, I'm almost 65. I think it's ridiculous. When I was a kid, there were still black water fountains and black bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. And even then, I didn't quite understand that. Matter of fact, I can remember seeing a black water fountain and wondering why it wasn't black. If they said it was a black water fountain, why wasn't the water fountain black? So, there's another point of view about this. Could it be that this super technology age that we now live in just makes it easier to pull back the covers from the festering, hate-filled remnants of the slavery, Jim Crow, segregation eras that we are not as far removed from as we jokingly imagine that we are? I want to say about that, before I read any further, that there's also the fact that running your mouth when nobody can see you is, first of all, very cowardly, and usually does take a person who's consumed by something other than loving and caring. And being able to sound off in a fashion like that when there's nobody there who can judge you back, it's pretty easy to do. So that's part of it. I believe that's part of it. Despite the increase in multiculturalism and the significant increase of interracial marriages in this country, laws criminalizing interracial marriage were still on the books in numerous states until 1967. While the black football player, black athlete-loving state of Alabama did not officially lift its ban on interracial marriage until the year 2000. That blows me away, which is beyond egregious. Also, as recently as 2011, 46% of Republicans in another black football player, black athlete-loving state, Mississippi, still thought that interracial marriage should be illegal, according to a polling survey. So you can't blame everything on YouTube, Facebook, or our technology that everybody has at their beck and call. So how many holes will have to be shot in this so-called post-racial society before it is officially declared dead? Not that it was ever alive. America is still nowhere close to being substantially free from being a racist country. And many of its current intolerant ideals are just as racist today as they were when this country was founded. How sad is that, people? How sad is that? Otherwise, this historic American view that places the Caucasian, European, white woman as the undisputed symbol of what it means to be genetically pure, beautified royalty, as decreed by the white male-dominated society, as it looks to protect this belief of the virtuous white woman from... he has a whole bunch of... this is not... these are not my thoughts, by the way, folks. If I interrupt and say my thoughts, I'm reading a story by this gentleman that wrote it online. So I don't think personally that people believe that. As a matter of fact, this morning I watched some of the reporters talk to Beyonce and Madonna, and I can't remember who the other ladies were who stood up for women's rights and did this big show the other night. Beyonce, who I don't know what race she is, don't care, has got to be, hands down, one of the most perfect, beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And I don't have a clue what her heritage is. She's gorgeous, and she doesn't have blonde hair, she doesn't have blue eyes, and she's not real white-skinned. So I don't think that's it either. I think really what it is for whatever reasons, people kind of revel in finding fault in other people. And it's the old pointing the finger so nobody's looking at you. And God knows we have discussed that at length on this show. And they've discussed it at length on The View and every talk show that's on television. And yet, there's still some of us that, for whatever reasons, can't let go. I always told my kids, and this was so many years ago, that eventually we're all going to be a very strange shade of chartreuse, and nobody's going to know anything. Plus that, I'd really like to know if all of you are under the impression, and this is for those of you who don't have a prejudice bone in your body, think about this. We are all Heinz 57 people, all of us. I have Irish, German, English, Swedish. I don't know what all in my heritage. And chances are you don't know either. So there is no pure, if there's supposed to be, I don't think there is. Otherwise, other families wouldn't marry other families because that's what gives us this lovely lineage that we have. That's why you can have four kids and just because of whatever's dominant, they can all look different. My brothers and sisters and I are all different. I'm this great big woman with bright blue eyes, and it depends on what mood I'm in, what color my hair is. But when I was younger, my hair was like an auburn color. And I have a sister who's never grown any higher than 5'1", who's never been any heavier than 110 pounds. She has an olive complexion. I'm very Irish, fair-skinned. We're all different. I have a younger sister who has coal black hair and hazel eyes. She looks very much like my German grandfather. So, you know, God, get a grip. Everybody, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. And finding fault in somebody's choices, again, isn't any of your business. I think I just brought Shelley in. Are you there, Shelley?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, honey. How are you tonight?
I'm doing real good, Rainey. I'm I don't know what to say. I'm a little taken back by the article because I know that racism still exists in America. I'm not naive, but I didn't know that it was to that extent that I loved that commercial. I know what commercial you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I used to love that commercial. And you see commercials go on the TV and go off all the time. So when one all of a sudden isn't on anymore, you don't think about it. You say, okay, they're just going through a new campaign. But to have it removed because of a predominance of hate mail against it is unconscionable. I mean, like you said, what are people thinking? That was a beautiful, beautiful commercial.
Well, they didn't take it off the air. They didn't take it off the air. What they did was they closed off the comment part on YouTube because people were playing the commercial on YouTube, and that's where it generated all of the hate comments.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's still
on
television.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. All
yeah.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the spokesperson involved in it made an announcement and said, absolutely, this will not take this commercial off the air.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, okay, so then I misunderstood what they were taking off. So explain to me what they closed off then.
On YouTube, somebody transferred the whole commercial to YouTube for people to see. And that's where it generated all of the racist comments. I mean, there is no place to really make comments about a commercial that you witness on every channel on television. So the only time that it could have generated, unless they sent letters or emails or something, would have been on something like a YouTube thing. So somebody obviously thought it was very cute and put it on, and then that's when it generated all this hate mail. I did.
Wow.
I did find on this this article that I read, there are, what does it say, like 200 and some comments. I watched this video and could not imagine what the controversy was till I read some of the comments. God bless you, General Mills, for not pulling this commercial. I think it's great. Most of the feedback is in line with what it should be.
Okay. All right, good.
Even on this, I have to read this because this is just people are so funny. here's one article. After everybody's saying positive things, you're all puppets. There's no controversy, only a manufactured story. Now all of you are feeling good about Cheerios and will buy a box. Bah bah sheep. So,
oh, for God's sake.
You know, the part that's funny about this is, I suppose that's possible. I suppose it's possible that it was generated by a very, very bright advertising agency to do something like that, to get everybody all revved up. Anything's possible. But the fact that somebody is so skeptical and so negative that that's the first thing they think bothers me almost as bad as the bad comments.
Right, right. Well, the bottom line is that there's a little of both, unfortunately, in our society, and that the fact that both of those things exist, when you're talking about companies or corporations creating their own smear campaigns, so that they can make themselves out to be the victorious victim and get like public support to defend them. I mean, that's been discovered, that companies have actually done that, where they've actually created situations where they needed to improve their image. So they did it by launching an attack where their supporters then all of a sudden became staunch supporters, you know. But unfortunately, it's also a commentary on the fact that there is still racism and bigotry in this country, and we're seeing both extremes now. You know, you look at all the sitcoms and all the different TV shows, and it's very blatant on the any of the TV shows that have to do with law enforcement and stuff like that. And then you really still see a lot of it because a lot of it is the behind the violence of the crime or something like that, you know. So you still see a lot of that predominating those types of shows, you know. In sitcoms, it's almost a non-issue anymore. You know, you have gays and blacks and you know, every ethnicity that you can think of. You know, you even have a show that's all about nerds, and it's hilarious. You know, The Big Bang Theory, it's a great mm-hmm. show. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, you take all these stereotypes, and you can't turn on the TV without it being covered in a positive way. But you still have this undercurrent in the United States, which, like you said, it still shocks me that it exists. With all the accomplishment, you can look at any ethnicity today and see men and women that have excelled in every field that makes a difference. So how do you judge people? If you're judging people by their accomplishment or what they do for society, there's not a race, a religious group, or a gender that has not contributed tremendously to the advances of science, the advances of music, the advances in sports. You know, I mean, it's across the board. So how do you dislike a person just because they belong to a particular group? I've never been able to wrap my brain around that. And
well,
actually, I'm kind of glad that I can't.
Yeah, but I think these are two different issues, actually. One is the issue of totally disliking a certain race or ethnicity or a religion or something, you know, for so many years, all the people that absolutely hated Jewish people, which was
mm-hmm.
ridiculous because they were the ones that were so ostracized and hurt, and yet they're the ones that emerged with the bad rap. And then when they became, you know, rose above it and became some of the most important people in the world, and everyone that I'm close to are amazingly smart and capable and great people. So this particular commercial is about the mixing of the two. It's not necessarily I hate blacks. It's I hate that blacks are mixing with whites. And that, which I said earlier, cracks me up because do you know anybody that's pure out of the Garden of Eden, you know, white through and through? Do you know anybody like that?
No, but I know that there are families when you get into some of the royal families and stuff that's why they always, you know, like they have such strict rules about going outside the royal blood. But it's very, very rare. I mean, it is so rare that you're only going to find it in royalty or in families that and don't think they're not fooling around on the side and that they don't have mixed children out there somewhere. It's just not, they're just not bringing it into the into the forefront, you know, for their countries to see. But other than that, no, I don't think it doesn't exist. And
of course it doesn't.
Anybody's background, I mean, you can have, I know myself, I've got a half a dozen different ethnicities in my background, plus the fact that I have both Christianity, Catholicism, and Judaism in my family. So I have two different sects of religion. And both Christianity and Catholicism, different focuses there. Half my family was Roman Catholic, and the other half of my family was Presbyterian. I think, or I don't even remember, but I know that there were two different Christian religions there. And mm-hmm. it's just our heritage. I know that there's even American Indian in my family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
When you talk about royalty, we talked about this the other night as well. When we talked about fact that the 18-year-old girl that's being ostracized, mostly because she's gay, obviously, but they're attacking her because she is having a relationship with a girl who is now 15, and
mm-hmm.
we talked about the fact that royalty, kings used to pick often their favorite cousin, who might be 12 years old, to be their next bride. So when you talk about purity like that, it's even like when you get purebred animals. Dogs who are continuously bred amongst their own family, you often have deformed puppies and crazy puppies. It's the same with human beings. There's supposed to be a mixture in there to keep things some kind of balance, I think. I'm no scientist, and I wouldn't pretend to be, but it makes so much sense to me to know that there has to be a little bit of a mixture to keep the reproduction of humans down through the lines and everything to keep them strong. So to think that any of us, even your royalty, look at them. They don't all look alike. Even the royalty doesn't. Not that I'm saying that they brought in an Indian prince from another country or something like that, because they wouldn't do that, because they have too many. They're too bigoted themselves. But I think that there is a tremendous mixture in all of us. And and to think that you are pure, pure, pure is ridiculous. I told my kids the story of the Spencer Tracy movie called Black Like Me. And I don't know if you ever watched it, but it was an amazing movie. Spencer Tracy dyed himself somehow with stage makeup or something and made himself black to see how he would be treated. It was a great movie. Then there was another movie called, I think it was either called Pinky or Pinky Lee or something like that, about a young black child who was born white. And she leaves her black family and goes to the city and gets a really good life going for herself, and she falls in love, and she's afraid to get married because she may give birth to a black child, and she doesn't want to tell anybody her secret. So through history, these kind of things have been out there and have been controversial and have always brought on, very sadly, lots of heartache. And everything that we talk about here, that we're trying to embrace here and that we're trying to support and teach people to respect, is our differences. Mm-hmm. And I will be honest, when I told my daughter this the other day, I said, you know, when you were a teenager, and Diana is like 41, 42, something like that now. She'll hate having me tell her age on the radio. But when she was like 13, she was madly in love with Michael Jackson, as were most 13-year-olds, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got worried that she was going to like black guys. Not because I didn't want her to like a black guy. Not because I was, you know, I didn't understand the fact that she might. I was worried about what she'd go through if she made that choice.
Right.
And that very, for whatever reasons, has lessened in my head and in my heart. And I say that because that came from the point of view of a very young mother. And I knew what interracial couples went through. In Ithaca, New York, there's a tremendous community that's interracial. There's also a tremendous gay community in Ithaca, New York, where all my kids were born. And I think it's mostly because of Cornell University, because the diversities that come from other countries and everything often settle in Ithaca for 4 to 6 years, and mm-hmm. And I think that's what brought it a lot of it about. But I was just worried about the heartache that might be caused by that. And, of course, now, any of you who know me, I have great-grandchildren that are Mexican. I have a great-grandchild that is half black and half white. I love them just as much as I do all the rest of them. And
that's right. That's
it's,
right.
It is... It, Yep, it is what it is, and I feel sorry for the people who can't embrace that and grasp that. I really feel sorry for them, because if you can't judge a book by its cover, you sure as shit shouldn't be judging a person by his color.
That's right. That's right. Do you remember that you had mentioned Star Trek the other night? Do you remember that Star Trek episode? And oh my God, what is this, going back 30 years ago, I guess, or even longer than that, because I was a teenager at the time, so even longer than that. And it was these two aliens were caught or something. One was chasing the other. One was a bounty hunter, and the other one was a refugee. And the only difference between them is that they were black and white, but one of them was white on the right side and black on the left, and the other one was black on the right side and white on the left. And that was the only difference between them. Other than that, they were feature-wise and in every other way, they were the same. But the bounty hunter, I don't remember which was which, but the bounty hunter, I guess, was the one with the white on the right side, and the guy he was chasing was black on the right side, and that's what made him an outlaw, and that's what made the other guy, the bounty hunter that was chasing him. I think Frank Borshin played the role of the bounty hunter. But I just thought it was such an interesting concept, because you're looking at it and you're saying, how ridiculous, but how far off is that from what we do to each other when you're talking about bigotry? It's no different.
Well, and there's also, there's a lot of things that kind of coincide, black and white hats. Black is always evil, white is always pure.
Yeah,
I mean, it just seems to be the way. If I don't think it was designed because of black and white people, but it seems to have just been something that kind of symbolized itself.
Well, the black cat, the same thing. It's the same premise,
yep.
What you're going with,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Black cats, a witch is all dressed in black, a vampire is all in black, a black cloud means a thunderstorm, a white cloud means a sunny day. I mean, I could go on and on. Black and white traditionally means good and bad. And that's why I loved the first time I saw the symbolism of yin and yang, because it no longer made one evil and one good. It just made one different from the other.
Right, right. And then you needed
which I loved. Right, exactly. And it creates the balance. And if we could all think of this like that, but I mean, the black and white thing has been, as far as those two colors, has been forever, you know. And yet there's so many things about black that, I mean, a dark sky at night with the moon and the stars twinkling. I mean, is there anything more beautiful?
Right, exactly.
There's so many things that we I think appreciate and love that are black, but there's still that good versus evil, black and white thing going on. But I think this commercial, as I said, wasn't so much about the black and white issue. It was about the black and white communion.
But the bottom line is, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but if somebody got racist against a black person, or as it could go the other way, it could be a black person being racist against white people. I've seen both issues. If you're not
sure.
If you're not racist against one or the other, then I don't think that you would care about a mixed marriage. Wouldn't the only objection come from racism?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not openly, maybe deep-seated, but not openly. I believe that there are some people that are fine, and they'll tell you, ironically, oh, I have lots of black friends, but I don't want my kid marrying a black person. Or I have lots of white friends, but I don't want my kid marrying a white person. So,
but that's
no.
Racism.
Well, it is and it isn't. There can be extenuating circumstances, like I just said about the way I felt about Diana.
Right.
It wasn't, because I don't think I'm prejudiced. And I evaluate myself on a regular basis by my own thoughts and things like that, and I really don't think I am. But I didn't want my daughter to go through the harassment and the ridicule of making a choice like that.
Right. But
now,
if she had, like you just said about your grandchildren, if she had, you wouldn't have disowned her. You wouldn't have hated
her. Oh, never.
You would have been worried. You would have been concerned because you know the way the world is. That's
right.
What I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about the people that, you know, like you said, okay, your concern is because you know how other people react and you want you want things to go a little bit more smoothly for your children and your grandchildren, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I know how you feel about some of your grandchildren that are mixed race now. I mean, and they're just absolutely amazing people. You know, they're little tiny people and they're already amazing, you know? You know, I've had my own experiences with, you know, I went out with, in fact, I was engaged to a black man for a while, a very, very dear friend of mine. We had been on and off for over 16 years, you know, and I was married to a Caucasian man just like myself, and then we got divorced. And when I started dating him, a couple of my friends gave me a really hard time and said, you know, you should date your own kind. And I said, really? I said, explain that to me. I said, would you rather me stay with the white guy who was not treating me properly just because he was white instead of dating the black man who's very good to me and makes me feel good about myself and we have a lot of rapport and I feel good when I go out with him? I said, what kind of sense does that make? And they said, because it's the right thing to do. I mean, this is their attitude. That when I was doing something that was morally wrong. And in their minds, it was wrong. It wasn't that I was making a choice or whatever, you know, or that they thought that I was going to, you know. So I even told them, I said, well, that's very bigoted. Oh, I'm not a bigot. I like black people. I just don't think you should date them. I said, that's bigoted. I said, you can't just draw a line there. I said, what are you thinking? You're not saying this being protective of me. You're uncomfortable. That's the problem, you know. And then some of my other friends were totally cool with it. They didn't have any issue with it. They actually became friends with him, you know. So I kind of saw both extremes of it, you know. But I wasn't prepared for it.
Right. But again, you know, when somebody says, a friend is different than your child, you know, you're somebody that you want life to be as easy as you can make it for them. And you want everybody to love them as much as you love them. I mean, that's like a major mom thing. However, a friend who judges like that is absolutely prejudiced and doesn't know the meaning of just, you know, knowing somebody for who they are. You know, it's an interesting thing, and I'm going to bring these two people up again because whenever I talk about judgment at face value, I think of two amazing people that I met many years ago who are both unsighted. One at birth, and the other one, the lady, lost her sight as a young child. And they both teach unsighted folks to function. And the gentleman is amazing. He can ride a moped. He uses like bat-like instincts, like a sonar when he rides a moped. They have never ever seen each other. They have never seen what the other one looks like. And they love each other so completely that they put most of us to shame.
Yep.
And they depend on the loyalty that is between the two of them to such a degree that it's almost heart-wrenching. And the other beautiful part about that is when they meet people that are just kind to them, they love them without any qualms,
yep.
without any judgments, without any anything. And it's a beautiful thing to witness, and it also is an extremely big lesson. And the truth of the matter is, you know, at the end of the day, looks, heritage, black hair, white skin, green skin, anything, doesn't matter if you connect with each other in a way that is profoundly beautiful. And that's what these two people have done. Now, the only time in my years of working with these two people that either one of them ever said anything to me about what the other one looked like, because it never dawned on me that they didn't know what they looked like. Never dawned
right.
on me. Because they're so comfortable with each other and they do everything the same as anybody else that I just didn't think about it. And they were on a special program, and they were both losing weight, and the lady had a weight issue, and the young man was too thin and undernourished. And they both changed immensely, and I used to say to them, God, I wish I could explain to you how much you've both changed. And we sat one day, and that's what I did. I told them kindly, of course, about how they looked when I first met them and how they looked now. And the man said to me, she's beautiful, isn't she? And I said, absolutely. She's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. So, and he just beamed from ear to ear.
So he used to say that about her. I know the couple you're talking about. He used
mm-hmm.
to say that about her when she had the weight issue as well, though.
Oh, yeah. It didn't bother him. He was concerned about her health.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. right. But they, they were one of the most impressive couples that I ever met. They absolutely, their devotion to each other, their kindness to each other was definitely something that you could write a book about. I mean, it was something that was a lesson. Like you said, you could learn from how they treated each other, their loyalty, their sense of kindness towards each other, you know. And it was really quite a remarkable thing to watch, you know.
It was. It was amazing. There were times when it made me ashamed of myself, to be honest with you. There were times when I thought to myself, I need to be as appreciative of what there is without all the crap that we worry about all the time, you know? And
right.
I'll tell you something. As you grow older with someone, as you know, Spike and I have been together for 46 years, and I guess this isn't true of everybody, but as you get older, looks are really not the important thing anyway to you young people out there. What's really more important is your connection, is how you feel about each other and how you connect, and whether, you know, you start finishing each other's sentences and things like that. And that's a big part of it. And I remember years ago somebody said to me, how do you know you're in love? And I sat there for a few minutes and I said, okay, there's the best piece of cheesecake in the refrigerator that any of you have ever eaten, and there's one piece left. And your husband offers it to you, and you say, no, you eat it. And you both go to bed, and the cheesecake still sits there. That's love.
I like that.
And people always laugh at me when I say that, and I said, think about it. It's so simple, but so true. If you put the other person before you, that's what it's about. And these two people, I mean, that was the whole name of the game. Renee, will you make sure she has this? Renee, will you make sure he has that? That's how they worked, and it was a beautiful thing. But again, one of them could have been purple, and the other one could have been polka dotted, and because it just didn't matter. And that's the way it should be with all of us. No.
That's
you should
right.
choose people by who they are inside, always, not what they look like on the outside. And if we could do that, it surely would be a much kinder world. Now, in regard to this commercial and all the things, all this stuff that I read about it, one of the other things that came out of the whole thing about it was the fact that when they choose specific actors and actresses, you know, it was whether or not they did that on purpose. And I would imagine somewhere down the road that's going to be a part of the controversy. Whether they did it, she says they did it because there's all kinds of families in the world and they're trying to recognize all the different families. And that's a beautiful thing to say, and I hope that it's true. But you do have to wonder if it wasn't just for the, you know, this kind of a reaction.
Right, the publicity.
Yeah,
getting
exactly.
Everybody talking about it, right.
Mm-hmm. So for that purpose, you know, I almost didn't talk about it, but then the more I read about it, the more I thought, well, it certainly fits with everything we talk about, and even if it was the reason, maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe it was good for them to do to wake everybody up and let us all realize that we are still, some of us, parts of our brains are still living in the old days, and I think it's time to let go of some of the old days. We've let go of them in a lot of other ways, and it would be nice if we could let go of them with this. I think that it would be time for us to move on. There's much bigger problems, like what we're going to talk about tomorrow night, the IRS and some of those other things.
Wow.
I'd like to put a shout out though for somebody tonight that is a friend of mine and Shelley's. I've known this lady for maybe almost 12 years, and I met her at Hippocrates Health Institute. She brought her mom, who had been diagnosed with cancer. And she brought her mom and stayed with her, and her mom got on the program and survived quite a long time afterwards. I fell in love with her mom, and Susan and I became very good friends. And this past, I guess it's been about 3 days ago now, Susan took in some two greyhounds. And,
oh, wow.
That were raising dogs, and you know, once they can't race anymore, they try to adopt them out. And these are full grown greyhounds. And she was out in her backyard a few days ago with Sunny and all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank on what the other dog's name was, the one that she lost. I'm ashamed of myself. Anyway, they're out in the yard playing, and of course they're very fast runners. And Suze was standing there, and Shadow came running towards her and hit her head on with his head, knocked her down, and broke his neck and broke Susan's leg.
Oh my God.
Yes, so I would like for all of you who are listening, who may know Susan, please send out some, just virtually. I don't want her to be bombarded with mail or callers or anything, because she's all by herself, and I took her a wheelchair today so that she can get around the house. But first of all, Shadow had to be put to sleep, which was devastating for her. And then her right leg is in a knee to ankle cast, and she cannot put any weight on that leg at all. So I'd like to have everybody send some virtual prayers and some good energy out to her. in the hopes that she gets through the next few weeks, you know, speedily.
How is she handling taking care of the other dog with her legs open?
Well, she just, you know, Sunny came out on the porch when I was there today, and of course Sunny's sad because you know what that's like when two dogs have made a relationship as well. Sunny is a little depressed and pining and wandering around the house, kind of lost. And so, but it seems as though they're all right. I will go by again probably tomorrow and check on her and make sure everything is going all right. But for
well,
those
you know,
of you who are...
One thing I will say, since you're talking about this, and again, one of the other good things about your show is that you can put information out there that's helpful to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, animals suffer emotions just like human beings do. And, you know, I've seen animals that when they lose a companion that they were attached to or playmate or something like that, that like you said, they'll pine. And sometimes it goes for an extended amount of time to the point where it actually becomes, you know, harmful to them physically.
Yep, they get
and
sick.
One of the,
yep.
Right, right. One of the ways that you can help that, and Susan probably knows this, but just in case not, if you go see her again, mention it to her that I said this.
Okay.
At Whole Foods, they sell box flower remedies for pets. It actually says for pets on it. They have it in a dropper bottle. They also have it in a spray bottle. You can either spray it right on the nose or put a few drops on the nose. But it's to help an animal that has suffered a trauma, an emotional trauma or a physical trauma. And what it does is it just like what the effect it would have on a human, all right? It does help to ease some of the intensity of the emotional pain, you know. And so, again, if she's eating okay and that, you know, that's fine. But if she does see, if, I don't know if it's a she or a he. I'm just saying she. I don't know why.
She.
The dog,
I'm pretty sure it's a she.
Okay. So if she is pining to the point where she's stopping to drink water or eating, this may be a solution. It would be worthwhile trying it. And I know Susan shops at Whole Foods anyway, so you know, so it's something that it's easy to find. Because I went through that recently with one of my dogs who was actually having a reaction to stress, and I started using the box flower, and it took a couple of days, but by the third day there was a noticeable difference. And I was actually, I sort of believed it would work, but I was surprised that it worked as effectively as it did. And like I said, I shouldn't be surprised because I believe in this stuff, but I was actually very pleased that it worked as effective as it did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to give my Brittany Spaniel, Blue, I used to give him rescue remedy all the time.
Right, right. And that's
just regular
it's
rescue
called,
remedy.
It's called rescue remedy, but I don't know if it's the exact same composition. It might be, and they just might market it thing for pets, you know. It might be the exact same, but there's actually one that says for pets on it. So I ended up getting that and using it. But,
yeah, well, I will get her some. I'm going to be in that neck of the woods tomorrow, so maybe I'll get her some and take some. But, yeah, so like I said, just positive energy and everything. Send it to Susan in over off of Skies Road, and let's hope that she, you know, goes through this without any repercussions. She's got a couple bruises on her besides she broke her fibia. And like I said, she's got a half a leg cast from her knee down to her ankle. And
what's the prognosis
cannot,
before she could put any weight on her leg?
6 weeks.
Oh, boy.
6 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I took
the
wheelchair. She called me and she said, I don't suppose, and I said, I'll find you one. And she said, well, and I said, don't worry, I'll find you one. And I did, took it to her. And
yeah.
She was like, oh, choices. It's so nice to have choices. And I said, yes, I can relate to that. And but she has a big house, and she's expecting, I don't know, like 6 health educators to stay with her soon. And I said, well, maybe that will be a blessing instead of, a chore, maybe they'll all pitch in and help a little bit. And she said, yeah, they usually do.
Well, my heart absolutely goes out to her. I mean, I'm a big animal lover, and I know how I would feel if I took in an animal, and by no fault of hers, obviously, it was just an accident, you know. But I lost a couple of animals when I was running the ferret rescue, just from accident. Couldn't have been prevented. There was no way of knowing that this animal was going to do what it did, and it got injured in a way that it wasn't able to recover. I lost two animals that way. I had 350 ferrets go through my rescue, and I had two of the ones that I remember are the two that I lost from like weird accidents, you know. And to this day, they stick with you, you know, because you always. You second guess yourself and you say, well, should I have done something different? But the animals are unpredictable, and sometimes they just move in a way that you can't anticipate.
Well, and like Susan said, they run when they're playing together. Yeah. They run like lightning speed, and that's what they trained for their whole lives. And I said, that is the true definition of a freak accident. The true definition of a freak accident. So, but like I said, I'm sure she'll be fine. But if anybody's listening and knows Susan, maybe even give her a call and say hi and just send her some love. I think we can all use that, but she can really use it right now. Abbondanza. So
really.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, I'd like everybody to think about what's going on with IRS. And I did a lot of research. I have lots of figures to talk about. And it's talk about something that will make you angry. This will be it in a time where there's so much suffering going on and finding out what kind of money is being thrown out the window, literally. Is not only the kind of stuff that makes you shake your head, but it's also like how is that going to be recouped? How is that going to be fixed? There is no fix to it. So what's gone is gone. And very sadly, we're talking about a lot of money, somewhere to the tune of like $250 million. That's a quarter of $1 billion. I'm like, and the more I read, the more angry I became, and it's scary. It is truly, truly scary that this has been gotten away with, and that Lois Lerner, who we will talk about tomorrow night, who is the director of the IRS Exempt Organization Division. Apparently knew that this kind of money was being spent, and it's kind of sad, disheartening, and really poor professionalism to a degree that I can't even put into words. So, if anybody has any questions about that, I will try to have. Some pertinent information. I've collected quite a bit. I will continue to do so tomorrow so that we can talk about this at length so that people understand exactly what happened, because there may come a time when we will need to speak in some kind of a mass production, if you will, to see what can be done about that, because as I mentioned earlier in tonight's show, there's two things that you're told from the very beginning. You have no choice in. One is paying taxes, and the other one is dying. So in an organization that's willing to take our money, hell or high water, and now we find out that they're spending it like they're all drunken sailors, it's kind of disarming. So and very sadly, now that this can of worms is open, there will probably be other cans to follow. That's the other bad part. So, but I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight, and I hope that every time we have a show like this, your arms open wider and your heart opens up and you understand that our differences are okay and that we do not have the right to judge other people. and that the world will be a much happier place if we can grasp that and embrace that. So thanks, Shelley Belly. I will talk to you tomorrow night. And I will keep you posted, of course, on Susan. Good night.
Yes.
Good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night, Renee. Good night, everyone.